Mark Levine joins us. He's a constitutional attorney. He's worked in the US Congress and now has a nationally syndicated American radio and TV talk show. He's host of that.
But what he tells all his friends is that every few weeks he gets to talk to Matt and Dave in Adelaide. Mm. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm not sure about those giant rabbits that might scare them away from Adelaide. Yeah,
yeah. Now, Mark Levine, I'm the last person on the planet to read this book. I think it's been out for about 15 years, but Bill Bryson's Short History of Nearly Everything. And you get to the bit about Yellowstone National Park and the fact that there's this huge volcano, which is effectively Yellowstone, and when it blows, and it will apparently, it's just going to sort of blot out most of the planet for quite a while.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, and but what's funny is it's a huge tourist spot.
It is. Yeah.
Sorry about that, Chief.
Old Faithful actually erupts every 67 minutes or something like that, but pretty much every hour you can see this geyser erupt from this volcano that's underground.
Yeah. Mm. And is anyone particularly worried about it?
No. We have a chemical company that is busy spilling waste into West Virginia rivers and leaving hundreds of thousands of people without water. So I assure you, Yellowstone is the last thing on our minds.
Yeah, right. Now okay. Tell us about the chemical spill.
Yeah, now tell us about the spill.
Yeah, so basically in West Virginia, they mine all the coal, and West Virginia is a very poor mountainous area. And they used to hire people to go in and get the coal, but then they decided they could do a better job simply blowing up the mountains, the Appalachians being some of the oldest mountains on Earth, but they just blow it up and grab the coal and they rain poisons into our rivers. Very nice people, then. There was one river they had left untouched, and it's a river that goes to the capital of West Virginia, Charleston, and the primary population center. About 500,000 people rely on this river for their water supply. But the coal company did manage to have a storage tank just above that river that had not been checked in some 22 years and was leaching chemicals into the water until finally everyone in this capital city, and like I said, maybe 500,000 people, not only couldn't drink the water, you couldn't shower in it, you couldn't brush your teeth in it, but the only thing you could do was flush your toilets with it. And so basically an entire state had to evacuate. That's what you get, I guess, for having very little regulation in West Virginia.
Yeah. Right.
So how is this going to be resolved? Nearly 500,000 people affected.
Well, that's true. They kind of are saying, well, the water goes down the river and it'll be fine again, but I wouldn't drink that water, would you? No. Now they're saying it's okay unless you're pregnant. But then you think, well, if it harms a fetus, then maybe it's not safe for the rest of us to drink. From what I understand, from the people I know in West Virginia, everyone is just relying on bottled water. No. And meanwhile, the company's gone bankrupt, and that way they won't have to really pay to clean it up.
Well, but Matt mentions Bill Bryson, and he another book of Bill's is he's hiking through the Appalachian Mountains, and he comes across a town, I think it was in West Virginia, which had to be evacuated. It was a bustling town because a coal fire started something like 70 years ago underground, and basically it poisoned the city and it had to be evacuated. So that you have a history of environmental problems from coal in West Virginia.
Absolutely. Well, it's not just West Virginia. It's frankly the entire Appalachian Mountains. Coal still is the main source of energy in the United States. Maybe not the majority, but the plurality. It's probably 40-something percent. And it is going down in recent times, but it's a very dirty fuel. It, of course, has massive carbon emissions, and it's very dangerous to get. And the sooner we can get the United States off of coal, the better.
Mm. It's an incredibly poor part of the U.S., is it not?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, mountain folk, there's all kinds of, there are jokes that people make that are probably unfair to the poor residents of West Virginia. But the point is, it is a very, poverty-stricken area.
If you get off the main, and I've driven through there with our young family quite a while ago now, but if you get off the main road and get into some of the back roads, it's quite an eye-opener.
It's very poor. It also happens to be extremely beautiful. I mean, those mountains Like I said, they're probably the oldest mountains on the planet Earth. They've been around pretty much since the Earth was formed, unlike our new mountains, the Rockies, that are only 2 billion years old. The Appalachians are about four. And it's really beautiful countryside, and to see it absolutely destroyed by these coal companies is depressing, at the least, not to mention the chemicals and poisons that float down the river and end up just outside my home in outside of Washington, D.C., because the Potomac River begins and its waters begin in West Virginia.
Okay. So. I remember being in one particularly beautiful part of the Appalachians in this town that was an unbelievable tourist town, and it had a huge billboard, just great big sign with an arrow pointing to the beautiful view, saying most beautiful view in the in the Appalachians. And Mark, one thing I'll never forget is it was this Perspex box that was coin operated and had a duck in it, and the duck would play a piano to get food. So with its beak, which of course our little kids were amazed by. So you put money in, and the duck would have to play a little tune to the right thing, and then some food would be released. Of course, the duck was frantic, and it was...
They're probably starving unless it plays.
Yeah,
plays
it was one
piano,
of the sad, one of the saddest things.
It was a real duck.
Oh, yeah, it was a live duck.
Oh, I know. I've seen them. I've seen them myself. I've seen
it was one of the saddest but most entrancing things I've ever seen in my life. But when you actually look at this poor duck, you think that duck is starving, and it has to...
Were the kids more interested in the piano-playing duck than the view?
Yes. Well, you imagine a little, five-year-old and a three-year-old seeing a piano-playing duck, but it was... Anyway, you do live in...
We make our ducks work for a living here in America.
You do, I think so.
Play it again, Sam.
I think so. It's this amazing scandal about the New Jersey governor who says he knew nothing, that his staff, as an act of political revenge, created a rolling, 2 or 3 day traffic jam.
It was 4 days,
And I think it's one of the busiest bridges in the world. And one of the busiest bridges in the world?
It is actually the most traveled bridge in the entire world. It's the bridge that connects New Jersey to Manhattan. There's a couple tunnels, but this is the only bridge, the George Washington Bridge. It's massive. There's always traffic on it. But in this case, the traffic was so bad, it actually backed up the traffic throughout the entire city of poor Fort Lee, New Jersey, with the haphazard mayor who had the audacity not to support the sitting governor in his reelection campaign. Chris Christie's Republican and Mayor Sokolich is a Democrat. And they appear to have just gotten him back for that by making all the citizens of Fort Lee, New Jersey suffer. And what's fascinating about this is that Chris Christie is running for president, and many have mentioned him as the main Republican candidate in 2016. But this traffic jam is causing a huge traffic jam for this mayor, for this governor, Governor Chris Christie.
His staff, they've got an email from a staff saying, I think it's time we had a traffic jam or something like that, correct?
Yes, time for some traffic problems in Fort Lee. Mm. One asks, the other one just says, okay.
Yeah.
Not, what are you talking about or what do you mean? Just okay, like they talked about it prior. And then there's all kinds of other wonderfully awful, snarky emails, like one says to the other, is it bad that I'm smiling? And the other one says, don't worry, the kids of this town one said, well, I do worry about the kids getting late to school. And the other one responds, well, their parents didn't vote for us. I mean, it's really awful.
Yeah.
And they keep referring to the mayor using derisive terms. The Serbian won't like this. Mm. As it happens, the mayor isn't even Serbian-American. He's Croatian-American, but I guess which ethnicity doesn't matter when you have your ethnic slur. It's really awful stuff, and the governor claims he knew nothing about it.
Okay.
But that's falling apart, too, every day.
Mark, thank you very much. Mark Levine, speak to us from Washington, D.C., and marklevinetalk.com. It's Levine.
It's 2 minutes to 7.